Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. While you turn in, I want all my young people just a minute to look up here. I want to speak to you for just a minute. I know you come to church, and a lot of times you come and think, well, Mom and Daddy, make me come. I don't have a choice much in the matter. But I want you to understand something. That one day, we are all going to stand before the Lord. Every single, the Bible says every knee is going to bow before Jesus. That's every lost knee, every saved knee, everybody that's ever lived on earth is going to bow before the Lord. There's going to be some that are going to have come out of hell and stood before the Lord in judgment and then cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be those that have been in hell, those that are headed there, and then there's going to be those that have been in heaven and those that, you know, ultimately that's where we lifted our eyes, was in heaven. And so, and yet every knee is going to bow before Christ, every single one. So you think about that, and that's a very important thing indeed, that whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you're still going to bow before the Lord. And the Lord is going to, if you're lost and you are before the Lord, He's going to show you, no doubt, the opportunities you had to be saved and yet deny the Lord. For us that are saved, no doubt, judged according to our works, we'll be judged, you know, as to how we lived submitted to the Holy Spirit, how we lived according by the grace of God, how we worshiped in spirit and in truth, and yet to be in eternity with Christ is going to be a wonderful thing. But you think about the opposite of an eternity with Christ is the eternity in hell and ultimately a lake of fire. And so I mentioned you young people, I don't want you to stand before the Lord in judgment and say, well, my preacher did not tell me about hell. My preacher did not preach the truth to me. There's going to be some that I believe will be able to say that. Yeah, that will not be an excuse. That will be an acceptable excuse. And yet, the Lord is going to take that into account, no doubt, in judgment. The purpose of judgment is to make some judgments. And so, there's going to be some blood on the hands of certain people. And I don't want it to be that way with me. In fact, I want to warn you, and I want you to hear the gospel and be saved. That's why we're here as a church. We want to see the kingdom of God advance, increase. We want to see those who are lost be saved. And so if you are unsaved, understand that there's coming a time, may not be today, it could be today, but it may not be, that the Lord is going to deal with your heart and show you that you are lost. And when you realize that you're lost, at that moment, if you were to die in that moment, you would lift your eyes in hell. If you were to die tomorrow and you had not been saved, you will lift your eyes in hell. You will lift your eyes in hell at any moment that God takes you out of this world until you trust Jesus as your Savior. And so this morning, I want to try to be a blessing to you, especially young people. I know that there may be some here that maybe you've been baptized and yet you're still lost. Maybe you've made a profession of faith at some point, but you're still lost. If that's the case, it wouldn't matter if you've been baptized. It wouldn't matter if you joined a church. It wouldn't matter if you're trying to be a real good girl, real good boy. If you're lost, you will still lift your eyes in hell. And so this morning, I want to try to be a blessing to someone that might be lost. If you're saved, you pray for me as I try to get across this burden. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. So Jesus, this is Luke 18, that was verse 35. Jesus is coming to this place, nigh unto Jericho, and there's been a certain blind man that he's there, and he can't really do anything but beg. He can't work a job, he's blind. He cannot even get from one point of the room to the other without some man leading him by the hand. And we'll see that in just a minute as some led this man to Jesus so that Jesus could heal him of being blind. But, you know, that's a pretty desperate thing. You know, I'm glad I have my eyesight. You know, somebody said, well, if you had to lose one of your senses, which one would it be? I don't want to lose any of my senses. They are all very important. But I certainly do not want to be blind. I couldn't imagine ever looking on a sunset again. I couldn't imagine ever looking at my children's face again or something of that nature, my wife. That would be a horrible and desperate thing. And then to have to learn how to just kind of get by. I know now they've got schools that you can go to and they help you to get by pretty good. And even with that kind of handicap, someone seems to be able to do a lot better maybe than they did in this day. In this day, they just fumbled about and, you know, probably tripped a lot. And, you know, someone had to lead them very delicately and they probably just slid their feet whenever they went. They didn't want to, you know, stomp their toe. And not being funny about that, I mean, that was a real thing. You know, you stomp your toe and after a while you kind of you get gun shy about that and you start sliding their feet. They probably slid their feet. Somebody had to lead them around. And so very desperate situation that he's in. Verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So he's in such a predicament that he's hearing a lot of noise, but he does not know what that noise is all about. Verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. So at this point, I'm going to just make an assumption. He must have already known something about Jesus. Because he didn't say, well, who in the world is that? He knew, at least by reputation, that Jesus is the man that everybody's been getting help from. That's where I've got to go to try to get some help. And so, look at verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Now notice this, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. So he didn't just get his sight back, but he also was saved, no doubt. And we see here he followed him and he glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So no doubt he also trusted Jesus and he followed him. But I want us to notice the blind man calls out to Jesus. This man, he received his sight along with salvation. His faith saved him. His faith restored his sight. I think about Amazing Grace, and I believe no doubt as that song was written, this verse probably come to mind. I once was blind, but now I see. That thought probably, I'm just assuming, probably come from here. I once was blind, but now I see. Whenever I was lost, there's a lot of things I was blind to. But whenever the Lord saved me, I now see the grace and the goodness of God. And so this man, he was blind, but now he sees. So I want us to notice the way that the blind man calls out to Jesus. He didn't just say, hey, Jesus. But rather the Bible said he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. Now, whenever we use that word, we think of tears. You know, some people cry in silence. Some people cry all by themselves somewhere. You know, maybe just make just some mumbling type noises. But that's not what this word means here. When it said he cried, listen to what the definition is. When he cried, this is the original Greek word. For he cried, it means a prolonged shout in a tumultuous way. So if you can just picture him screaming, Jesus! Jesus! Thy Son of David, have mercy on me. He's desperate. This is not just, you know, a casual thing with him. He is desperate. He cannot see. So add that into your vision of this. And so he may not be shouting in the right direction. Jesus may be over here and he's shouting in this direction. He's a mess. But he's shouting. He's crying. Jesus, have mercy on me. And somebody rebuked him. Somebody in the crowd. Why don't you hush? Can't you just imagine somebody, you know, humanity's always been ugly. Ever since sin entered the garden, humanity's out. We act like it's just now getting ugly. It's always been that way. They rebuked him. Why don't you hush? He's not even over there. He's over here. You know, I don't know if they said it that way, but they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. You need to be quiet. That's Jesus. He don't have time to fool with you. That's Jesus. But listen now, but he cried so much the more. He didn't stop. He intensified his cry toward the Lord. He become more desperate. You telling me to hush? He is my only hope. I've got to get his attention. I've got to get to him. I need him to help me. It annoyed some people. But that man's putting on a show. That man's being dramatic. Hold your peace. You need to be quiet. But he cries so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's blind with no direction whatsoever. He cannot see Jesus, but he knows he's there. He don't know how to get to Jesus. He just knows he's got to get there somehow. And what I want you to see this morning, very, very simple thought, if you're here and you're unsaved, what I want you to see is the desperation of a man that needs Jesus. I think that we have about forgotten that in our day and time. That, you know, even when we pray, it's almost like, well, if he wants to, he'll help me. A lot of times, I'm not saying that's always the case, but I believe a lot of Christians, we've about got to a point where whenever we ask the Lord, we kind of, well, you know, he may or may not do something. Maybe he'll help us with this. Maybe he won't. You know, if you come to the Lord and you think, maybe the Lord will save me, maybe he won't, he's not going to. Brother Barry, how can you say that? I want to be saved. It's not about how bad you want to be saved. It's about whether or not you believe he's the answer. It's whether or not you're going to trust him to save you. Not if he can save you, but will you trust him to save you? And so he's very desperate. And I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. It does not take volume to get the Lord's attention. It's not about how loud you scream. It's not about if you're able to get his attention by some display. I think in a lot of religions, Brother Ryan, a lot of religions out there, I believe they feel like that you've got to get the Lord's attention by some kind of display. I've got to scream the loudest. I've got to dance the most. I've got to jump up on a bench and break it in order to get the Lord's attention or be filled with the Spirit. That's not what this is. It does not take volume. But it does take a serious cry of desperation. If you're lost, understand me this morning, you are desperate. And you can pretend like you're not, but you are. You're desperate. And you can play it off like you're okay, but you're not okay. Listen to me, lost sinner. If you are lost, you are not okay. It wouldn't matter who told you you're okay. You're not. And I'm saying that not to scare you. I love you. As the pastor of Clear Branch, God has placed me over the flock here. And I love Clear Branch. I love you young people. But I want you to understand, if you don't get saved, at some point, you will lift your eyes in hell. You will. And that is as desperate a situation as a person can be in. If you're just simply blind with your eyes and you have to live the rest of your life fumbling about, maybe go to a blind school, maybe learn how to get around with a walking stick, and you get pretty good where you can walk with confidence, kind of hold your head up a little bit and walk with confidence, and you pretty quickly you recognize your surroundings. And whenever somebody walks through the door, you're able to hear the way they step, and you know that's grandpa or that's mama that just walked in. You may get pretty good at that and say, but that's a very desperate situation, and I wouldn't ever want to be in that situation. But if you're lost, that is much, much more desperate. If you lift your eyes in hell, you will be in torment forever. If a person is blind in this life and they get trust Jesus, whenever they get to heaven, they will see. They're going to see streets of gold. They're going to see angels walking before their eyes. They're going to see. And even if we get older and our eyes get dim and we have to wear glasses and we get to a point where they don't do much good, one day we'll stand before the Lord with a brand new body and perfect eyesight, and we won't have to worry about those type of things. But if you're lost and you die lost, eternity in hell is a desperate, desperate situation. So, again, it don't take volume, whether audibly or in your heart. Salvation is not something that you receive half-heartedly. Whenever you get saved, you're not going to get saved by casually just kind of easing into it, trying to fill out everything and trying to, you know, make sure you've covered all your bases and, you know, trying to do it very gently and, you know, maybe half-heartedly. It's not something that we put on a long list of to-dos. Again, I think that there's those that are lost that they know that they're lost, and, well, I know I need to get saved, so let me put that on my to-do list, almost like Santa's list. Christmas list. Let me check Christmas list. It's almost like writing a Christmas list, and we say, you know, I want a bicycle, and I want a tennis racket, and I want a new basketball, and I want a baby dog. All these different things we write down. And I want salvation, and I want so-and-so. And it's somewhere on your list of things you're going to get to at some point. If you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what have you accomplished? Nothing. Salvation is the most important thing on earth. It's the most important thing, period. You must get saved. So, I think some approach a need for salvation, again, like they approach that Christmas list. I know I need to get saved. Well, get saved. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't just put it on a list of things that need to get done. Salvation is the only thing that needs to get done. Nothing else matters. Well, Brother Brad, there's things that matter to me. I understand that. But by priority, salvation is the most important thing. By far. By a mile. That's not even a proper gauge of judgment, but by a long shot. When I got saved, I had returned home from revival service. Somewhere in the middle of the week. We'd already been Monday, probably Tuesday. I was saying my bedtime prayers. I know you don't just say prayers, you pray to the Lord. But you understand, as a kid, I was saying my bedtime prayers. And as I was doing that, all of a sudden, I could see myself burning in hell. And I'm talking about in my mind and in my heart, I understood because the Lord showed me I was lost. And I understood at that point, I'm not innocent anymore. I'm not safe anymore. If the Lord has opened your eyes and showed you you're lost, you're not safe anymore. Don't think, well, I'm still young, I'm still saved. No, if God showed you you're lost, you're lost. You're not safe. You're lost. And Lord, show me I was lost. And I know the Lord works with everybody maybe a little differently. I'm not saying you've got to just see yourself burning in flames. But in my mind, those thoughts were going through my mind that if I die right now, I'm going to be in hell. It scared me terribly. I'm not trying to scare you, but let God's word rest where it will. It's the truth. A person lift their eyes in hell, that's a scary thought. As the Lord showed me that, I didn't go to Him in doubt or supposing or trying to make a deal with Him somehow or trying to show the Lord all the things I knew. I went to the Lord as a lost man and I asked for mercy in a desperate way. I don't remember the words. I do not, to this day, I do not remember the words I spoke between me and the Lord. But I remember I was desperate and I did not want to be lost. And I called out to the Lord. Look at this blind man. He didn't even know if he was calling in the right direction. Jesus might have been over here, but he might have been calling this way. But he was calling. And somebody said, "You need to hush that up." And when he heard that, he just started screaming more desperately, louder. Well, the only way he knew how, I've got to get a hold of Jesus. That's my only hope. And the Lord said, I don't know how it was, but I wish you could just see him. Man, he's desperately looking around, maybe tripping over stuff. Maybe he's trying to get to the Lord. He's done tripped over five people and landed in their lap. And the Lord looked at him and he said, "Bring that fellow to me." And they took him by the hand and they led him over to the Lord. "What do you need me to do for you?" He laid it out. "This is what I need. Your faith has saved me. Because you trusted me, I have saved you." He got his eyesight. He followed the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. Look at how beautiful a picture that shows us. You remember the man we read about, maybe if you were here, the man named Ornan, that as David made a terrible mistake and he needed to make an offering to the Lord, and he come to Ornan, and Ornan was threshing wheat in his threshing floor. He had, you know, a threshing floor. David come to him. He said, I need to make a sacrifice. Will you let me have will you let me use this threshing floor?" Ornan said, "I tell you what, David. The threshing floor is yours. The oxen, that's yours. The instruments that I use for threshing, all that's yours. You can burn it for firewood. It's all yours." He said, "All that I have is yours." I wish you could see that this morning as a lost person. Here you are lost, and the Lord wants to save you. What you need to do is just pour it all out. "Everything I have is yours." It's a surrender. Salvation is a surrender. I'm lost. I'm desperate. I'm going to go to hell if you don't save me, and then let the Lord save me. Surrender to Him. This man couldn't even see his way to Jesus. He trusted others to lead him to the Lord. Some people... And this is not pointing fingers in any way. I don't believe that's here, but I believe I have seen it. Some people say they want to get saved, but they want to look cool doing it. Oh. They want to look smart doing it. They want everyone to know they figure things out. You've probably heard this many times, but let me say it one more time. There's a rich man. Had a servant. No servant was always happy working for the rich man. No rich man was always miserable. Everywhere he went, he was miserable. Always grouchy. Always fired up at somebody. No servant lived in a rich man's shack. Little tenant house. Lived in a shack. And everywhere he went, he'd whistle. Whistle while he worked. rich man come out and said, I don't understand. You live in my shack. You do my work. I barely pay you much. And you always was always happy, always whistling everywhere you go. He says, because I know the Lord. The old rich man said, if that's the case and I want to know the Lord, he said, well, let's get down in this hog pen and let's have prayer. He said, I'm not getting no hog pen. Well, I thought you wanted to be saved and be happy like me. I'm not getting a hog pen. A little while later, same thing. Go through the whole episode again. That rich man really observing that fella, slopping him old hogs, getting that mess all over him. Happy when he worked doing something that the rich man wouldn't even dare stoop himself down to do. That fella just whistling away while he worked. I'm telling you, there's something missing in my life. I don't have what you have. I want that. Well, let's get down in this hog pen. I ain't getting in the hog pen. But finally, he come to a place where he said, I tell you what, I want what you have. I'll get in that hog pen. Let's get down in the hog pen. I want whatever it is you have, he said. Well, come over here and let's bend down under this oak tree. I thought you said we had to get in the hog pen. No, but you have to be willing to. If you're here and you're unsaved, please hear what I'm telling you. You have to be willing to do what God said in order to be saved. You have to be willing to humble yourself and trust the Lord if you're going to be saved. You will not get saved until you understand that you are in a desperate situation and without God's help, you're not going to get saved. It's Jesus Christ that saves. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose the third day. He has power over death. We don't. You can sit there and try to do it by yourself till the cows come home. You're still not going to get saved. You can try to do it in a prideful way, try to figure things out all by yourself. But until you humble yourself and trust Jesus, you'll remain lost. Will you trust him today? Will you just surrender? Just give it all over to him. Surrender. Let him save you. We'll ask for a song.